The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg. Welcome to the show. Another loss to a division rival. Seems to be a habit these days. We're going to hit on that and more on show 674. First things first, I was so sick I couldn't even sit up without passing out. I was sick. And Randy picked it up and ran with it. And I got to thank you, Randy. You did a great job. Appreciate you hanging in there for me because I just could not even sit here and do this show. So y'all better thank Randy if you got any kind of show coming out because it's all up to him. And I think he did a damn good job. Right. On today's show, we're going to talk about the ills, which are many, of the Raiders. Not going to talk about players, not going to talk about Geno, not going to talk about the line. We're going to talk about deeper, more meaningful subjects in this take. Then, of course, we're going to do the bone line. Not very many. I don't blame you guys for not calling in, because why? Because the results seem to be the same, and you're going to beat a dead horse. I've been beating one for a long time, as you guys know. So, let's just get into it, shall we? All right, so the state of the unhinged Raiders. And that's exactly what it is. Now, the field is a microcosm of the office. It's a direct reflection of ownership, management, and coaching. Those three things must be all in one, or you're going to have a team like ours. So far, we fired the special teams coach. We have fired Chip Kelly, our offensive coordinator. And we have promoted... well, guys that are just as bad. I mean, maybe a little bit better, but not better. Greg Olsen was a sad disappointment for me because he's not only a retread, he's been in the league so long and hasn't garnered a really highly valued offensive coordinator position. Nope. And why is that? Because he's not good. He's not good, and it showed really immediately with his Charger game. You know, another sack for Geno, a two, whatever, how many sacks, got 15, 20 sacks, I don't know what it is. Far too many. While Brendan Carroll...
Hello? This is Eric. Welcome to my pronunciation guide on some of the most mispronounced names in the world.
Brendan Carroll...
it's a name with an Irish origin, meaning moisture or drop of water. It's pronounced as Brennan. Brennan?
Brendan.
Brennan. Like, hello Brennan. Goodbye Brennan. If you found the video helpful, hit the like button and subscribe for more on commonly mispronounced words.
Brendan Carroll and his brother suck up money and time and do nothing. Neither one of them are worth the time or energy that goes into a coaching staff. Our offensive line blows. It blows so bad, maybe they should be doing something else besides playing, but that's not the case. Brendan Carroll.
Brennan.
Is horrible. Bad footwork, bad hand movements, bad positioning, leverage, all the things that you demand out of a solid offensive line that makes it work to run the ball and obviously protect the passer are failing miserably here in Las Vegas. What are you going to look at? Chip Kelly? Chip Kelly doesn't do anything but make the plays. Brendan Carroll.
Brennan.
Is the mad scientist, ha ha ha, that's supposed to have this offensive line clicking and doing the job. And they're not. They're abysmal failure. We have two third-round pick. Third round. I mean, that's high. For two third-round linemen, haven't seen the field because the coach cannot coach him up enough to put them out there. Now, he's hiding behind the Chip Kelly firing, and Carroll is just, he's an old man.
Let's welcome in head coach Pete Carroll. If you could tell our audience about the day-to-day grind, which you preach, no matter what the record is, it's not going good, how they come in the building, they practice, they show up on time for meetings, they're film studying, and they're practicing their tail off. What can you share with our fans about that?
The rule number three in the program is be early, so we don't show up on time. We were always okay. Early, okay? Yeah, anybody can be on time. We need to be early. So that's that. Just to catch you up on that one. We do have a real routine about how we do our weeks, and it starts with JT. The fact that no matter what just happened the week before, a big win, a big loss, last second play, win, lose, whatever, we are developing a discipline so that when we get to Wednesday's practice, Mondays tell the truth and figure out what just happened and get on the same page and go on. Take the day off on Tuesday, the players work out, we're doing the game plans. But Wednesday, we come back, it's competition Wednesday for us. And on that Wednesday, the focus is getting back to the basics and the fundamentals of our game. And that's I want that focus. We keep score. Some guys win, some guys lose. There's all kinds of different competitions on different levels going on through practice to get them back into football and to leave the last experience behind us. We know, of course, we always want to learn from it, but we don't want to drag it into the next week. And so sometimes you're so full of yourself because of how good you do, it can carry over and distract you into the next week's prep. So Wednesday is dedicated for that. And so we bang it on pretty good. We have our one-on-ones and pass rush, one-on-ones down on the goal line, you know, with the DBs and the receivers and those kinds of things, just to make sure that we're tuned back in and we get drawn into the competition rather than the focus elsewhere. And so, matter of fact, we even finish up. The backup guys get the last five, so they get the last five places, see who wins the last five of the day. Okay. And so there's a first down competition that we go through, and then there's a third down competition on Thursday that we go through just to end the practice on a note of competing, and that's just to keep selling the central theme in the program.
Now, I like him. He's a nice guy, but he's protecting his children over the team. It's time for Pete to hit the road. And I say this because we need to clean out this mess. We need to clean out all the position coaches that are not doing their job. Easy to see. This shouldn't be some kind of popularity contest like high school. This should be some kind of thing that's prideful that you get paid well for. Chip Kelly got $6 million, highest paid OC in the league, and he sucked. Not because his play sucked, because he had no support. I mean, he's an idiot too, but how can you expect him to run a pass play with no protection? Give Geno an opportunity to get rid of the ball, but have no protection. Genty, run this ball right through this solid piece of people that's just standing in your way. No, that's an obvious sign of a bad O-line, and the defensive line is better, but not by a whole lot. Our position coaches matter. And I know as Raider Nation, we like to say, fire the coach, get another coach. That's me. I've done that before. But if you dive deep into the subject, man, these position coaches are what makes the team run. I mean, it's very simple. You have a good position coach, those positions do better. They improve. And this team is not improving anytime fast in any direction. And, you know, as much as I get angry at Geno, I can't blame him. I just can't. I mean, I think whoever you could put Mahomes back there. And he would suck. Be calling for him to leave. Our team is a complete mess. Not because of just the coaches, position coaches, because the office is a clown show. Spytek and Pete Carroll, they don't get along. Now, these are rumors. that are spilling out of the building.
Chip Kelly, however, whatever conspiracy theory you love, whatever conspiracy theory you subscribe to on the Conspiracy Radio Network, on why Chip is here, who hired him, who fired him, why is he here, whose plays, did he sabotage it, whatever you want to believe in, you go do you. But the system of what Pete Carroll does when he parks his car in the darkness before the sun rises till he goes home in the darkness of night, that hasn't changed from USC to Seattle to two Super Bowls to everything he does. That's what's happening. Can you handle that? You can't handle the truth. No, you don't want to handle the truth because you're like me. You're pissed off. You're furious that we're losing every game. We're not losing some games. We're losing every game, okay? And it doesn't look good going forward other than what I just shared with you. And I said to Coach, which was kind of interesting because he listens to the questions, and I talked about, well, what about them being on time? He says, no, JT, we're not on time. My program, you have to be 10 minutes early. You have to be 10 minutes early to everything. That's on time. I didn't know that. There were a couple things that happened in the Charger game that were pretty impressive. And that's all we have now is the ability to go through all the negativity and find something positive, or we're just going to be all negative, and I refuse to do that. I'm in the building. I'm in the team headquarters here wearing the silver and black. I've been very critical of the team this year, extremely critical of the performance of the team. You know that. You might not be hearing it clear. You might need to take the wax out of your ears if you're not listening to me on the post-game show or this show. I've been about as critical as I've ever been with this team because this has turned out to be one of the worst Raider seasons of all time, dating back to their inception in 1960. So we are in the middle of arguably a Mount Rushmore worst season ever. Do we all agree on that? Now, you might say, no, it's not the worst year ever, but it's close. The Jamarcus year, the Andrew Walter year. Again, you figure it out. If you want to trash this team, you're going to trash the team. I can't do anything about it. You won't trash him in front of me. You won't do it to my face. You never do. You never do it to Max's face. You don't do it to Geno's face. You don't do it to Mark Davis's face. You don't. You scream from the upper deck, but you don't have an opportunity to do it face to face. So I give you that on the show, if you can respect the format, which is we don't fire the coach. We don't go personal with the owner. And we don't go after anyone personally. We just act like adults. And I know where the line is. Sometimes you don't know where the line is, and that's okay. Because right now, everybody's losing their mind.
Spytek and Pete Carroll, they don't get along. Now, these are rumors that are spilling out of the building. Now, those things don't happen. They don't just happen. They happen as a result of factual evidence.
There's nothing this team will do by the end of the season that will satisfy most of the Raider Nation. There'll be something to blank and moan about for every Raider fan who is negative at this time. For every Raider fan at this time who is negative about something, and you have the right to be. I'm not the fan police. I just tell you how I act. You don't have to act like me. Act the way you want. Do whatever you want. But I'm just telling you what I know about this team. What I just saw from Max, my brief conversation with Geno today, seeing what I see in the building in regards to their energy. Now, a lot of people outside the building might have better information than I have, because some of the people outside of the building are preaching dysfunction, lack of communication. He's not talking to you, you're not talking to him, blah, blah, blah. I'm not aware of a lot of that. Now, if I want to go into Coach's room, he'll let me in his office, and I go, hey, Coach, can I sit down with you for 5 minutes? Can you tell me all the bad things that are happening that are gossip? I won't do that. But there are people in the building who don't have the access that I have who are guessing what's happening. And get this. This is really important. Don't clip this and take this out of context. They might be right. We might find out in February. There might be a coach who's fired or something happens, and you might hear something that you guessed right on. You know, the team didn't do this. This guy was involved too much. This was this and that. And you might feel you're great at the bar and say, I knew it all along. My buddy on that podcast, my buddy on that other radio show, they told us this was going to happen. and that might make you feel great. There's been a lot of things I've seen over my career here. A lot of things I've seen that I've watched. I shut my mouth. I stay in my lane. I do my job. And then, you know, a year later, if you're listening closely, I'll tell you what I think or what I knew. But, you know, I'm inside the building here, and I'm not a gossip. I'm not a gossip. There's a lot of gossips out there now. There's a lot of people with Raiders colors on. They're wearing the Raider colors, and they're talking crap about their team. And you don't have to be loyal. Not to this record. Oh, my God, this record is a disaster. I've said this on the record. This is the worst Raider offense of all time. Of all time. Not the worst Raider team, because there's still games left. But, you know, there's a lot of people now that are trying to ask me things about what I know inside the team and the ladder of communication, from Mark all the way down to Tom Brady, who I don't know well, to the GM, who I don't know well, but I respect them all, and I want them all to win. And I want them all to win with every last breath I have, because it's so much better than when the Raiders are winning than losing. It's so much better. I'm sick and tired of people coming up to me asking how I'm doing. Don't worry about me. I'm doing great. I have a life. I am upset with the losses. I'm really upset about it. But I understand the big picture of life and what's happening here. And trying to get through it. And then go win a game. Because I want them to win these games. This is not the show of tanking. And I'm always positive. Because it's always darkest before the dawn. I've seen winning. But this has been a dark run, and we got to get out of it. We got to get out of it. So let's hope there's a couple of more Brock Bowers touchdowns. Geno throws the ball away out of bounds to Dante Thornton. It gets tipped, and there's an interception that I've never seen before. Oh, man, we can't catch a break. We can't catch a break. I think we deserve some breaks because I think there's good people behind the scenes here trying to win games. Max Crosby, Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty. You know, good players here want to win, but we got to catch a break. We got to make our own breaks.
Chip Kelly didn't get along with anybody. He never does. Pete Carroll loves everybody and would gladly keep all the players and all the team members and all the coaches, no matter what our record is, because he sees we're getting better.
Let me go back for a second to about last week's game. You know, it's 7-7 at halftime in that game. We go in there tied up and had overcome a couple difficult situations. Mm-hmm. Remember Kai Blue's interception when they're going in, and then also the sudden change on the fluky pick that they get on the sidelines. Fluky. Defense went right out there and stopped him on fourth down and got the ball back, which is like another turnover. They're hanging. And we went into halftime believing we're going to win that football game, and we came out. It was in that sequence where that toss play happened and kind of, you know, it changed the complexion of what was going on a bit, and we needed to bounce back from that better than we did. We're there. We're there to be close and to get in these games. Now we got to win them. We got to finish it in the fourth quarter and get our wins.
We're not getting better, Pete. And, you know, you're trying to protect your kids, Pete. I get it. But that's not what it's about. That's not why you're collecting a salary. I see Pete Carroll out of here at the end of season. Spytek should follow him right out the door.
But from everybody I talk to, the principles of what Pete Carroll's done his entire career work. It's not working this year. Okay. It's 12 games. He doesn't have a lot of good players. He doesn't. You think this offensive line? Now, you can blame Pete for not bringing in better offensive linemen or Mr. Spytek for that. You can Tom Brady. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to do. But Pete Carroll coaches the players that he coaches. And maybe should younger players have played? Absolutely. We could talk about that and have a really good conversation on that. So when you look at all of this and what we're doing here, Pete, in the interview that we just had, clarified everything that he knows how to do to fix this. Everything he knows how to do to win. But he's not winning. And listen, if coach is here 5 years, 2 years, another year, whatever, you all decide what you want. I can't change your mind on that, but that'll be exactly how he coaches the next group. That's exactly how he's going to coach them up. He's practicing the way he practices. He runs the practice the way he does his whole career. It's not working this year. The system isn't broken in regards to the practicing and all that. It's not. What's happening is the players are not bringing that practice and execution to the game, along with the coaches.
Any general manager that comes into a team with a horrible offensive line and allows the coach to install his son with minimal experience to build a team is ludicrous. No one does it. No one does it that wants to keep his job. Carroll doesn't care about losing his job. He's done everything he needs to do. He's got a national championship. He's got a Super Bowl. You know, he's good. He wants to set up his kids. I understand, Pete, you're trying to protect your kids. I wouldn't mind, too. But it's time for you to go, you know, over the hill, bro. Your days in football are numbered over, in my opinion. And your sons drag those guys with you. Spytek knew this line sucked, did nothing to fix it, allowed Carroll's son to come and coach it with no experience. Spytek, his draft picks weren't great. He should go too. I understand, you know, I call for Mark to sell the team because I just think it needs a fresh pair of eyes. And that was supposed to be Tom Brady. Brady's not a coach. Brady's a player. Good player. But players aren't great coaches. There's been proof of that throughout the league for years. I don't think we should get even rid of Geno. I think Geno should stay. And we should get a new offensive line coach, somebody who's got some moxie. As a matter of fact, I don't understand for my life why we don't promote some of these younger understaffed guys. Take Olsen out. Get Brandon Carroll. Get him out of here. Cleaning house is the thing we need to do. Everyone that has not earned their job, and we know who those guys are, should be out of the building. Now, the head coach, I say we go young, not some other guy, not another old offensive guy. Someone who's got a young offensive mind that can bring a staff. Carroll came in here, brought his two sons, and just kept everybody else. Chip Kelly was like a hot name last year. And boy, they went out and paid this man. Chip Kelly made a bunch of money for coaching 11 games. He made $18 million for 11 games. You do the math. That's on Carroll. That's definitely on Spytek. And Mark Davis is as far away from this team structure as you can imagine. The fans are yelling at him all the time. I'm sure they're telling him what they think. He doesn't want to be... Well, sell the team would be my favorite thing to say. And if you sold the team, sell it to somebody smart who can pick out executives. Because not only on the football side, but on the operations side, it's a mess. The Raiders are a bad organization. The team is just a reflection of all the management underneath it. Because you have no foundation, this is the team that you're going to get right here. You have guys like Richie Incognito throwing his two cents in. He's frustrated. He loved the Raiders. And you know what? Of all the homers I've ever heard, Lincoln Kennedy, who never puts shade on the organization because they pay him, has come out and talked about the inadequate coaching for the O-line. It's making him sick to see the footwork, the handwork, the positioning. I mean, this is a complicated position. You just stand there as a big body and push people away. There's a lot to learn, double teams. There's a million ways to be successful on the offensive line, and we haven't found it. The defense is tired of the knucklehead operations in the offense. I'm sure Max Crosby is seen, but I know he's hurt a lot. We're a mess, and a new quarterback's not going to change it. You could put anyone in there, and they would be abysmal failures. My idea would be to keep Geno. Yeah, I know a lot of people can flip me off, whatever. But let Geno, for his money next year, take the beating again as a new offensive coordinator establishes himself and a new offensive line coach who knows what he's doing establishes himself with the players that we have. How can you have 2 third round picks last year who've never seen action? Unheard of. It's unless they're complete buffoons, and these guys aren't. The people they run out there are total buffoons. There's three linemen here that wouldn't be able to play in college. They're terrible. And the team shows it. Play calling is the same. Greg Olsen needs to be somewhere as an assistant to the assistant to the assistant. He is not the answer. He has been like furniture at the Raiders facility for years. When there's nothing else they can do, they drag him in and stick him in the spot. It's not the first time it happened to him. That's why they hold on to him. Because he can do this part, kind of. Not that he could take us anywhere, because he really hasn't. We're a mess, folks. And it's deeper than a first-round quarterback mess. The Raiders are a bad team, and they're a worse organization. I don't even understand how Mark can even go into the office without being flipped out. I mean, if you were the owner, wouldn't you want to go into someone's office and say, okay, what the hell's going on here? Why isn't that happening? We need a new ownership for sure. And I think we need a fresh, completely fresh look and a completely new person holding the strings so that all these Klingons that have been clinging onto this team for years that we've been losing can be jettisoned like a bag of dog shit into the trash. I don't have all the answers. I wish I did. Wish I could fix this with a magic wand, but I can't. We need serious rebuilding, and I mean from the office on down. The president in charge of all the stuff. All these people that have been happy just hanging in there, they should be jettisoned. You know, I just can't even understand it. I know you can't understand it because it's a nightmare. We're the Browns. We're the Patriots before Brady. We're the Tennessee Titans as they are right now. We're a lousy team. And it's not just about the offensive coordinator and the head coach. The GM has got to have a set of balls. He's got to be able to reach down between his legs and go, okay, I'm going to make some decisions. People aren't going to be happy. Oh, well, I'm not going to be liked. I don't care. I'm not going to be the guy that everyone says hi to and smiles at like I'm just like a piece of furniture. No. We need someone in here to kick some ass and take some names. We need someone in here to arrange a solid staff, not guys from last game, last season, or the season before. Every single coach, every single assistant needs to be examined with a stethoscope. How does his heart work? What is he doing for the team? Has he made any improvements? What are his ideas about expanding a positive work environment, a much more positive team, a much more positive winning percentage? Not just have another guy come in like Carroll, shake everybody's hands, drag his sons in, and then say, okay, we got a good team. And the coach speak out of Carroll, I just can't even think about it. It gives me a headache. Because he is an expert coach speaker.
Coach, what can you say about the Broncos? 8-2 in one score games, their last four wins by a combined 10 points. I'm watching all their games in the fourth quarter. It just seems to click with under 6 minutes to go. Yeah. All these games are one possession, 3-point games, including yours.
If the fans want to really catch one, is to go back to their Giants game and look at that finish there. They're well behind in that game. Mm-hmm. And they just found a way, one play after another. Bo, you know, did his thing throwing the ball, but his receivers came through. Guys were catching and running. They had a lot of critical plays. They got down to third and fourth down conversions they had to get to keep the ball moving, because they had to move it every time they had it, and they were able to do that. It has to give them a great deal of confidence that they're never out of a game, one, but two, that they know how to finish. So they're a very difficult team. You know, I don't know if our people remember our game against them at their place on Thursday night. It's a 10-7 game at the end of it, and it was a heck of a football
game. It was.
And we really had opportunities. You remember we had a couple crucial penalties that called big plays back that would have been put us in scoring zones. And remember Dante had that throw over the top that Geno laid on him, that right at the two-minute situation that would have put us in the scoring zone again. We had all kinds of opportunities. We played a really good football game against an excellent team. So we know that, you know, and we're going to carry it into this game and see if we can't carry it over.
They are the least sacked team with the most sacks on defense. Don't see that too often. So that's kind of unique when you put that equation together for Denver.
They have an excellent front. Their offensive line is really good. Nix is really apt to take off and run. He's probably rushed for 350 yards or something like that during the season. He might be their leading rusher even, you know. That factor really helps the heck out of them. And then their system is really good. Sean's done a great job with getting the ball out of his hands. But even when it comes down to it, they seem to find a way, and they avoid the big negative plays. And that's what's given them the chance to win some of these games. I mean, a sack here or there would make a huge difference. So they're really working it out together well. And it's a well-oiled group right now.
Last one, Coach. Two players. Sertana's back, and Benito's having a big year. So you got two guys that are, like you talk about, game wreckers if they have that type of game. How do you neutralize them?
Well, Sertan, you know, we'll find out what their game plan is, how they're going to move him around, because they do move him around. And they try to put him where they think the ball's going. And so they know what they're doing. The coach does a nice job with them. So that's just one thing we have to deal with. The big fella coming off the edge, you know, he's been on fire, you know, and he had a huge play. You know, he knocks the last play down, you know, and they got a chance to score, and they're gonna beat him. And he knocks the ball down right out of the quarterback's hands, and that's just kind of the plays that they've come up with in this season. So those guys are problems. He'll be roaring off the edge. We got to take care of him for sure.
We're home again. You excited about that?
Yeah, I like playing home. The home games have been great, and the fans have been excellent. They've been fired up to cheer us on, and it's been loud enough to be a factor. We get some penalties on the opponents and all of that. We need to do our part, as I keep telling you, to get our wins at home. But I really look forward to playing here.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.
He finds any positive. Well, you know, he stayed in bounds. He could have gone out of bounds, but he stayed in bounds. I think that's an improvement. Oh, bullshit. And I mean, who are you talking to? Pete? You're not talking to your family here. You're talking about the Raider Nation. They already had it with you. They've had it with the old man with his hand around his players. You're doing a good job as we get beat 31-0. You guys are good. You're going to be okay. We just have to make a little improvement here or there. What a load of crap. A solid GM that will look at this team and appraise every single person in it and get rid of all the dead weight and bring in fresh minds so that the players on this team that work their ass off to be on the field get an opportunity to be successful. Coaching is everything. You got to have a great coach. Look at Andy Reid, right? Anywhere he's gone, been successful. Harbaugh, anywhere he went, successful. Pete, anywhere he went, successful. But when Pete comes into the meeting to get a job and say, you say, who are you going to bring in for this? And I'm going to bring my son with 2 years college experience. I'm going to bring my other son in with no experience. Mark should have said, nope, sorry. Go find two hard-packing, good coaches. Put them in those positions. Your sons can serve lunches. We're a mess. We're such a mess that I see us winning a game or two down the stretch for the old man. For the old man who's going to pack his bags and be out of here. I just don't understand how Mark, as an owner, will take Pete Carroll and say, okay, whatever you need, Pete, we're here for you. Do you know how hard Gruden had to fight to get his job? Al had him up at the chalkboard until he had to almost passed out. I want to know how you structure the organization. Who are you bringing in for offensive coordinator? Who are you bringing in for offensive line coach? How's our D coach going? These are the things that make successful organizations. You must start at the basic bottom line of the team. And we haven't done it. I've never seen us do it. Any of our coaches. You know, even McDaniels brought in guys, better coaches than we have now. I bet you McDaniels would be a great coach now compared to what we have. As much as I hated his smarminess and his, you know, I don't know what he has about him, but he doesn't rub anybody the right way unless he's in Boston. They love him over there. I don't have all the answers, but I know I have the answers that matter, which is no. No retreads. No more, family members in positions they don't deserve. This organization needs a complete flushing. And Mark hasn't done it yet. You know, guys were afraid of Al. You know they were. They wanted to make sure that they did their job or they would lose it. He ain't play around. But Mark, he comes in with a cup of coffee, said, "How you doing?" blah, blah. It's a big social scene. How are we going to do this week? Oh, we're going to win, Mark. Good, good. I'm going back to my office. You know, this is the problem. Companies that don't succeed do not look deep enough into themselves. The Raiders are a shell. They're a symbol. They're a helmet. They're a guy with a patch.
The greatness of the Raiders.
That's all they are. Everything else is just fluff. The Raiders that we knew and loved is just not around. We don't have those type of coaches, which is exactly what you need to be successful. Players are important, but man, when you have two linemen, like I said, picked in the third round, they're still in the practice squad. These lineman coaches, they should be out looking for a job elsewhere. But Mark has no sack. Mark has no balls. Spytek, he has no sack. He has no balls. I can see him walking around with a latte to everybody's office. "Hey, how you doing, Pete? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? I'm doing good. How are you? How was your weekend?" Oh, blah, 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 blah. Everything in that building should be about football all the time, 100% of the time. I could tell you Mike Vrabel, his staff ain't joking around. His staff is getting results. They're playing hard. They're doing the right things. I don't know who they fired. Or I don't know who he brought in. But I'll tell you this. Whoever it was is miles ahead of us. Hard to believe we beat them. I look at him now and I think, oh my gosh. These guys have got it down. They have a quarterback, yeah. Their O line is awesome. Their D line's pretty doggone good too. And for my life, their players aren't much different than ours. You know, and the fact that we got rid of guys that were good to pick up guys that were old, and they're still good, but they're old because we don't have to pay them. We're going to have this problem until he sells the team or he gets it, one or the other, because if he don't change what's in that front office and all the other nonsense besides just hiring, a new offensive coach, this is our new head coach, this is our new general manager, I would love to be in on that interview for all those guys. I would love to be in on it because Mark doesn't know shit about football. Al knew everything about football. These guys are pulling the wool over Mark's eyes every single interview. Sell the team, Mark. Be best thing for the Raider Nation. And you can go buy an island somewhere and go do something else. And that is all I have to say about that.
Okay, Raider fans, here we go. The bone line.
7755 Raider. 7755 Raider.
Throw the nation a bone, throw me a bone, get on there and throw your bones. If you don't like your first recording, do it 2, 3, 5 times. I don't care. We'll pick out the best one. Don't be shy. How could you be shy? You're a Raider fan. No, we're all loud and proud. Get on the bone line because we got some guys shouting out right here. We got some great takes. And here they are from the nation to your station.
All right. Time for the bone line, everybody. Appreciate you guys calling in. I know it's tough. I know it's really it's been a beating of a season. You feel like you've run a marathon and you didn't get any water. But this is what we've been through many years in the past. And this last game was a reflection of our season. You know, good, but not even good, but not even good enough. And that's just what it is. So let's hear what you guys have to say. And our first caller is the Cheese Head Raider.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheese Head Raider calling from Wisconsin. And yep, we of course lost once again. What a shocker. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same old, same old. At least Geno didn't get sacked 10 times this time. Defense played halfway decent. Max, of course, being Max, gets 2 sacks, got an interception. You know, it is what it is. You know, you fire Chip Kelly, which clearly should have been done, but you're asking Greg Olsen, who's been a failed offensive coordinator with us before, to call the plays of somebody else. It's, you know, what are we doing here? I don't know who's going to be upset about this, but it is what it is. Pete Carroll needs to be fired. Now, it's not because Pete Carroll's not a good coach. It's because Pete Carroll's a self-absorbed, all-about-me type person. We know that they have fired 2 assistant coaches. This is the first time Pete's done this in his NFL career, fired coaches in the middle of the season. And yet he ignores the biggest coach he needs to fire, and that's his son, clearly the offensive line coach. They put AOC back on the active roster to inactivate him right before the game so that he can keep his boy, Geno Smith, out there. It's all about Pete. You know, I understand that you can have a plan, but when your plan's not working, a real man steps up and pivots. But Pete's not. Pete's like, this is the way we're going to do it. We're just going to keep on moving forward. 2 weeks ago, one of the commentators said that fans were frustrated because they weren't playing the offensive lineman that we drafted in the 3rd round, one from Texas Tech. Now I see that he did get some playing time this week, but Pete said, I'm here to win now and not to evaluate. Well, then that means you're not doing anything for the benefit of the Raiders today or even for tomorrow. That tells me you're all about yourself. You don't want to look at your kid. You don't want to look at yourself. So you got to go. We're 4th in the draft. I know some people are happy about that because they, oh, we got to get a top draft pick and get a quarterback. Why? So he can get sacked 10 times? We can destroy his career? How about we build the foundation, the offensive line and the defensive line? Cheesehead Raider, I am out.
That's exactly what I just got done saying, brother. What'd you take my notes? No, absolutely true. Pete Carroll doesn't care. He's got all his money. He's got all his records, got all his rings. You don't have to do anything here. So he failed at the Raiders. Who's going to say, oh my gosh, you failed trying to fix the Raiders? That's a joke. No, it's time for him to hit the road. He's not here to win. If he was here to win, we'd be winning. He's here for his kids to get a foot into the NFL so they can have a future taking money that they don't deserve. Appreciate the call, brother, but man, you would think, well, I'd still think Mark needs to sell the team to someone who actually cares. That would be a big difference. Thanks for the call, man. And our next caller, very good, brother. Haven't heard enough from him, but this is a great call from the Raider Disciple. What's up, brother?
Good morning, Raider Nation. Randy, Greg. This is the Raider Disciple after another embarrassing loss. But anyways, I'm sure you guys have all heard by now, there's some rumors going around about Bull Chip Kelly, as Greg calls him.
Bull Chip!
Our fearless coordinator didn't know his playbook. Guys out of position, guys running the wrong routes, bad blocking scheme. It was obvious. We all saw it. My question is, Pete Carroll, you let that shit go on for 8 to 10 weeks? Before, you didn't call him on one time, breaking down film. Why'd you run this? Why'd you do that? With no rhyme or reason, you just let it go on. You know what, my man? You need to be fired, too. Because you're supposed to be the overseer of the whole damn team. And you didn't see this offense was that discombobulated without you calling out your play caller. Now you're trying to say, oh, well, that's not what it was. You guys are just trying to save your own asses. My next question. Obviously, we're going to get a pretty good high pick in the draft. Quarterback, hopefully. My choice would be Fernando Mendoza. Do you guys trust this coaching staff to coach up our guys? Because you look at all the young, innovative head coaches with good young quarterbacks. They're all doing pretty damn good. Ben Johnson, Dave Canales, just to name a few. We can't, me personally, I don't want to go on with Pete Carroll. Nice guy. Don't tarnish your image. Either step down or just, you know what? You just can't. We can't. We got to have somebody younger. But anyways, this is the Disciple out, guys. Tell me what you think. Bye for now.
Oh, yeah. Pete's just trying to keep his sons employed. You know, they don't want him. Pete doesn't want them back on the payroll. He don't want his kids to move back home. So let's let the Raiders pay their salary. And as a matter of fact, Bill Chip Kelly was probably screaming at Pete in the office about how terrible his son's coaching was, and Pete probably said, well, it'll get better. No, man, there's a house cleaning coming. I sure hope so, in all levels. And, you know, as much as our defense seems to be the best part of our team, I'm just not sure Graham is the guy. I mean, why isn't our defense even improved? Seems to be the same schemes, the same stuff. Man, I'm ready for a flushing, and you know what that means. But, yeah, Pete needs to get out because he's just not a coach. Definitely not a coach for us. And his coach speak is just nauseating, and I've heard a lot of him. Thanks for the call, my brother. Bow Chip Kelly. And our next caller, my good brother, the Nebraska Raider. I love this call, man. You're funny.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, this is Nebraska Raider calling in. Raider Nation, God bless. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. And I'll get back into my Schwarzenegger voice. Come on! What are you doing? You all suck out here! You look like a bunch of sissy girls. I mean, come on. Raider Greg, hopefully you feel better now. And Raider Randy, you do a great job on the show now. I'm okay. Yeah. And Raider Tracy and Cheesehead and Sid and everybody else in the... all those things.
Sometimes the changes we fear the most are the ones that lead to the greatest growth. What if that failure is the seed of your greatest success? So don't fear change. Embrace it. See it as a teacher, a guide, and an opportunity to become more.
And, by the way, I'm running for governor of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's all a bunch of bullshit. Not all of it, but that last little part. Brock Bowers really stood out with this crappy offense that we have. Man, had a good buddy that I worked with once, and he actually got it tattooed on his arm. It is what it is. So, it is what it is, but it's hard to watch, man. I got a good friend of mine that I also used to work with. He's a Vikings fan, so he's going through the same stuff. But it's with a second-year quarterback, I think McCarthy is. And what do we have? I don't know what year he's in, too. 8 years, 9 years with the Geno Smith. So, but it was good to see Bowers out there and balling out. Got the only 14 points. That was nice to see Gentry getting some burn. Also with Thurton and Besh. So, with that, this is Nebraska Raider. And I'm out. Get to the chopper. Tracy, get to the chopper now. God bless, guys.
Nothing happens overnight. It takes effort and work and wisdom and knowledge. All those factors are missing greatly in Las Vegas. But Mark doesn't care. Evidently, he doesn't care. He doesn't really care. As long as we have Brock Bowers and a couple of good plays here and there, and almost, we didn't really. You know, he's happy. If you don't want to be giving money away, Mark, then pay more attention to your organization and get it straightened out, bro. Because the fans, we're sick of it. And now, since you're in Vegas, you don't have to depend on us to come and buy tickets like you did in Oakland. Now you can just stay in your billion-dollar house with your billion square feet and your 9 jacuzzis, whatever the hell's there, and just live your life while the Raider Nation just suffers every Sunday. Disgusting, bro. Sell the team, Mark. Love the call. Thanks, brother. I love the Arnold. My son does it all the time. It's hilarious. And last, but never least, the femme fatale in New Jersey for the Raider Nation who represents every game. We have Tracy in the house. What's up, girlfriend?
Raider Nation. What's up, Raider Greg? Randy Prez. Hope everybody's doing well. This is Tracy calling from Jersey. And Randy, just to say, you did a great job hosting the last podcast. I loved it. And there's really not much to say about that game. It's, you know, another loss. But two things for me. I love the fact that Max Crosby put, what's his name, Justin Herbert on his ass. Oh, my God. That was great. Oh, he's such a punk. Justin Herbert, that is. Anyway, and that catch by Brock Bowers, tremendous. I mean, I didn't see that on, well, to be honest, I didn't really look for that in highlights, but that would have been nice if the NFL or, you know, some of the shows would put that catch in the highlights, because that was bad to the bone. That was a banging play. It's too bad that we can't get the two tight ends on the field at the same time. I guess it's just, you know, not going to happen because of the O-line and the quarterback play and this, that, and the third. But that would be great to have those two guys playing off of each other. So that's it. That's it coming from me. I'm looking forward to hearing the podcast, and all the Raider Nation calling in. This is a game changer, life saving podcast. Love it. Raider Nation, take care. Have a great week. This is Tracy from Jersey. Peace out.
Yeah, we got great talent. I mean, we have the best tight end in the league, I'm sure. If he had a better quarterback, better offensive line, he'd be really breaking some records because he's so skilled. But we had another guy like that, and his last name was Miller. And he stayed for years and decided later, I'm out of here, goes to Seattle, and within a few short years, maybe two, Super Bowl ring. It's going to happen to Max, too. It's going to happen to every good player we have if we don't straighten this nonsense out and start showing the players that we have are their best intentions, not just because they're getting paid. These are young men at the prime of their life. They want to show something for their skills. Ridiculous. Mark, you're a clown, bro. Complete clown. Tracy, I appreciate your call. Certainly do, because it's a slow week. The Chargers, nutless, boltless Chargers beat us again. Not like they thumped us, but they put the hurt on us for sure. I love what Max did, too. Reminds me of something that happened a few years back. But, yeah, when you're popping your lips off in his ear, yeah, you get that. I don't care about the 15 yards, whatever. I don't think he'll ever do that again. Guaranteed. Thank you, Tracy. And, well, you know, it's almost over. I'm going to go to Vegas, and Randy and I are going to sit next to each other and watch the Broncos go up and down the field. Oh, well, at least I'm going to be with Randy. We're going to have a good time and see each other. Yeah, they're going to thump us. There's no reason for them not to. Then we got the Eagles, the Texans, the Giants. And then the last game is the Chiefs at home. And that should wrap it up for the season. That should be the end of the nightmare of this year. And hopefully there'll be something that happens. But if they fire one guy or they get rid of Carroll and bring in another has-been and keep all the assistants, don't look for change. Ain't going to happen. Mark sells the team. Boy, that would be a big one. That would be huge. That would be great. You would have a completely different organization. But nonetheless, I don't care who we get as a quarterback. We need solid players. We have some good ones already. We got Bowers. We got Genty. You know, we got even Geno's not bad. Give him some time. And you can see he can sling that rock. He doesn't have any time. The offensive line doesn't know what to do. Thank you, Carroll. And then Pete Carroll. He deserves no chance for this next season. He has not earned the opportunity to try some more and to sit here and give us a line of crap like we're getting better. Pete, and you're still trying to win? Well, I know you got to say it. I guess that's what they make you do. But I don't want you to win another single game. And at the end of the season, I want you going home to your house, bring your sons with you, have a nice holiday celebration, and stay there. Listen, man, this organization blows ass, and I ain't kidding. It needs to be completely sterilized from the fungus that's in the building. The funk, the lies, the backdoor, you know, nonsense, the egos. Winners aren't that way. Winning teams do not function in that way. So you can't get one piece or get a quarterback. I mean, we got a quarterback to be fine. You better have a solid O-line coach, and you best pick up some good, big, nasty boys up front to give whoever's holding the ball an opportunity. Because as it sits right now, our general manager, Spytek, you should get your ass out of town too, because you suck. You haven't managed crap. You haven't said shit. And we're in one of our worst seasons in our time as a team. And you're silent? I hope your silence is packing your bag and getting the hell out of Vegas. I know I'm a little harsh, I'm a little abrupt, I'm a little angry, but man, who is it? I'm just saying it because I can. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.